Your speaker is Garland Robinson. When the Lord comes again, what do you want to be doing? The Bible reveals that it may be in the morning, it may be at noon, maybe in the afternoon, maybe early evening, maybe at night or midnight, and it will be all of those things all the way around the world. It'll be noon in one part of the world, but midnight in the other. But that's not the point. What do you want to be doing? What do you want to be involved in? Have you considered the clothes you'll be wearing? When we dress to go out in public, are we immodest? Do we want to be in the midst of cursing God, telling a dirty joke, unclean story? Do we want to be involved in some immoral act? Do we want to be drunk or in adultery? Do we want to be caught as a thief or a busybody in other men's matters? On and on and on we could go. All of those things will be happening and going on when the Lord comes again. But what do you want to be doing? Surely no right-thinking person would want to be involved in wickedness or evil when the Lord comes again. Those that know about the truth, those that know about the Lord and His coming again, surely they want to be found perhaps in worship. They want to be found reading and studying the Bible, maybe in prayer, or teaching others the things that be the oracles of God. Surely those are the kind of things we want to be involved in. But we don't want to be involved in any kind of unrighteous activity. We read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Friend, do you have confidence today that you are saved, that you will hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? To have the kind of confidence that we read about in this verse is not arrogance. It is not a feeling of being puffed up, but it's simply in humbleness and obedience to the will of God. If we are abiding in the Lord, that means simply to remain or continue in the teaching of the Lord. If we're living as the Lord has directed us day by day, we're abiding in Him, then we have confidence that the Lord will do what He promised He'll do, that God will say, "Well done, come, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And in that situation, we won't be ashamed of how we live. We won't be caught empty-handed when the Lord comes again. So, how do you live right now? If you want to be living an appropriate life, a righteous or a holy life when the Lord comes again, then you need to be living that right now. And we live it every waking hour. We live it in the day and in the night. We also read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, "To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." So when the Lord comes again, do we want to be living a blameable life, one guilty of corruption and wickedness? Surely not. But instead, we want to be living an unblameable life, a holy life before God, because He is coming again. We just don't know when. He tells us to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. Remember what He told the disciples on the night in which He was betrayed? That's what He said to them. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And if we would be alert and attuned to the devices of the devil, the wiles and instruments of the devil, surely we could be better equipped to live that we would not be found lacking on that last great day. We read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Actually, the phrase here, "unto death," means in the face of death, even if it cost us our death. We're not just faithful till the day we die. That certainly is true, no matter when that would be. But faithful even if we are destroyed or we are killed, if we lose our life because of our faithfulness. We refuse to give up faithfulness in the Lord, and we are killed as a result of it. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." A thief does not announce his coming. He does not call ahead of time and say, "Well, I'm about to rob you. I'm about to rob your business or your house." He comes unannounced. He comes when least expected. He seeks to work under cover of darkness. Well, the Lord, it is said, will come that way. He'll come when least expected. He's not trying to trick or not trying to trap us, but He simply is telling us like it is, that He will come, and when He comes, He desires that we be ready, that we would be found of Him following His way. And the only way to do that is to humble yourself before God. Friend, are you humble? Or are you proud and arrogant? Are you full of yourself and full of confidence and not in the confidence of the Lord? Then you can obey the gospel today if you'll humble yourself and repent. If you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can obey the gospel. That belief you have, that faith that it's called, may move you to repent of your sin. That means to change your action, to change your attitude, your thinking about things, and that will lead to a change of life. When you repent, you will confess faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And you can and you will do that the rest of your life, not only in the words you speak, but in the life that you live. Then you can be immersed into water for the forgiveness of your sins. When Peter stood up with the 11 apostles on the day of Pentecost, he preached in such fashion that the people were convicted of their sins and cried out and said, "Sirs, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." We read just a few verses later, "And many other words did he testify and exhort unto them, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they, in verse 41, "that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Notice here, nothing is said about them receiving Jesus into their heart to be their personal Savior. Nothing is said about them, all that they have to do is just believe and the Lord will save them. But they had to obey the command. What was the command? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it was to repent and be baptized. And when they were baptized into his death. Romans 6 and verse 3, they were baptized so that they might be raised up to walk in newness of life. Romans 6 and verse 4, they were baptized in order that the old man of sin might be destroyed and washed away in the precious blood of Christ. Romans 6 and verse 6. So, when the Lord comes again, do you want to be found doing what the Lord would have you to do, being righteous in His sight, or unrighteous? Surely you desire to be righteous. What do you think in your mind from day to day? You know, we could even be condemned by what we think, by our mind. Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it righteous? We also need to recognize that we need to grow in Christ. We must become a better person, a better Christian. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8, we read, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice again some of these words here. He says that we are to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance. Temperance we might think of as self-control, patience and godliness, and brotherly kindness and charity, that benevolent attitude which we need to display before others. So if I desire to be faithful, if I desire to be right with the Lord when He comes again in His glory one day, then I'm going to grow in Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I need to be of such character that I would help others to become Christians also, that I would teach them. Again, the Great Commission, the Lord said, Mark 16, verse 15, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I'm going to help lead others to Christ. In Mark chapter 8, in verses 36 to 38, we read, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now the question is, will you be ashamed when the Lord comes again? Will you be found wanting? Will you be found cursing and perhaps any other kind of foul and vulgar speech? Will you be involved in impure and unholy thoughts? Will you be involved in some immoral action, some ungodly, unholy thing that is tearing others down and destroying the very Christ who died for you? What will you profit if you are in living in that kind of thing, or if you are greedy or covetous, or you're hoarding up riches unto yourself, if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul, what then? What a tragedy that will be. We desire to go to heaven. Surely, don't you? Don't you want to do right? It's not my thinking or my way that makes us go to heaven, but it's God's way. Since Jesus died for you and for me, He shed His precious blood that we all might have forgiveness of sins. Don't you desire that blood? Don't you want to appropriate, have that blood applied to your soul? That is only done through faith and obedience. When an individual has the determination that I'm going to please God, I believe God, I will do what God has commanded me to do. That is a living faith, an active faith. And in James chapter 2, verses 17 to 26, we read that a dead faith will not act. It just sits back and believes. But believers who do not act will be lost because that's a dead faith. Won't you obey the gospel? If we can assist you in your obedience to the gospel, please contact us. Give us a call or let us help you in any good and proper way. We would be glad to study the Bible with you further and help you to understand the Lord's way. This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.